Good morning. This is the Morning Chef. It's me, Squid Billy, your boy. He is Michael, the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. P, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And this is the substitute teacher edition of the Morning Chef.
Wheel in the TV carts.
Yeah.
Turn on Balto.
There will be no overhead projector used today in the class.
Man.
We've got the TV strapped onto the cart. The moon is big. It's bright.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when he started, when Dylan started talking about overhead projectors, and I've got Dylan by 10 years. You've got him by 15, something
right,
like that.
Well, I don't know why. What are you using numbers for?
Anyhow, I was like, you know, Dylan probably doesn't remember the bulb overhead projectors. His was a camera. They were a downward camera when Dylan was in school.
Yeah, they had it was another cart.
He didn't need the bright light. It was just a straight-up camera.
Had both.
You know what I mean? Like he didn't have to find – his teachers didn't have to find the transparent paper to write on with the dry erase. It was just a straight-up camera.
Dylan, did you ever have any classes in trailers?
Yeah. Actually, it was either second or fourth grade. I think it was my fourth grade. My entire fourth grade year, we were in a trailer. I remember walking to it every day, man. Good days. Those were the good old days, man.
You know, I actually, unpopular opinion, I kind of liked
like
the classrooms and the trailers.
Too. I did too.
I like being able to see outside during the day. Yeah, well, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I liked walking outside. I just, you know, I think I've told this story before when we were playing. Did y'all ever play what do you call it, tape ball or whatever, where you'd make the baseball, like wiffle ball out of a tape.
Yes, dude.
And I was
whatever
using
tape it was, duct tape, painter's tape, whatever.
I used like an umbrella to as the baseball bat. And
you had an umbrella to use? We rolled up a poster board. Come on,
well,
man.
It was raining.
Like you were high class.
And I remember swinging it and the umbrella came apart and went through the window of the trailer. My buddies told me not to talk. And when we met with the principal, because we were like, it was a drive-by rocker. And we said someone ran by and threw a rock into it. And they're like, where's the rock?
A drive-by rocker. Not a drive-by thrower. Drive-by rocker.
So, man. But yeah, dude, if you're driving in, I mean, the moon is huge. Before we get to what happened on Thursday Night Football last night, I had a panic situation this morning.
Uh-oh.
Like, panic. Full-out panic coming in. I got on 575. And right about as I got to where the 75 Express Lane entrance is, or exit, whatever you want to call it, it says closed. And then it says I-75 southbound, all lanes blocked.
What?
And it says closed for temporary emergency road work is what it said. And I go, oh no! And so I start Google. I put on my GPS,
right?
And it says that I'm going to be at work normal time, and it says showing blue. And I'm like, well, how's this not reading this? What's going on? So then I got to right there where there's another one right past the Barrett exit, another entrance.
Okay.
And it says I-75 southbound emergency road work. Express lane.
Oh.
So I had
I got you.
I had read it wrong. I did not read the express lane part.
You just breezed right
at
on
the
by.
First
still
one.
Had the crusty eyes from getting out of bed.
And
you know what I mean?
I was freaking out, and then I got to there, and I was like, oh, not a big deal.
Yeah.
When I got to that one, I realized it was nothing, and my panic went away. But I was complete in a panic. Like, I was like, I'm going to be I can't be late today. It's a substitute teacher edition. We don't have TIFF. Like, what's going on? I was in full panic, and I was like, oh man, okay.
Oh,
so
man.
when reading road signs go bad, I guess, is, you know, when you misread a road sign, it can it wasn't good.
Yeah, not always good. All right, let's jump into Thursday Night Football. Let's talk about the Eagles and the Commanders last night. The Eagles dominant performance. Somehow the Eagles, dude. And I'm looking at their record last night. They're 8-2 now. They're a good football team. Hitting the ground running. Saquon Barkley is a runaway freight train. 26 carries, 146 yards. Jalen Hurts also doing his thing through the air. They looked dominant for the second half, man.
No.
I didn't think that they were even going to be able to do anything throughout the first half, and they dominate in the second half.
They looked dominant in the fourth quarter.
That's true, too.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
They They were dominant in the fourth quarter. They took it over. They were aided by some questionable decision making by my boy DQ. Well, I you know, but Saquon has been worth every dime that they are paying him. He and Derrick Henry, is it safe to say that he and Derrick Henry are the most impactful offensive additions outside of like a quarterback that we've seen in free agency this year?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And we've seen a little bit of a resurgence. You and I talked about this yesterday. We've seen a little bit of a resurgence of the veteran running back. Some of the guys that – and look, I mean, you can put like Austin Ekeler in that conversation, although he's a backup to Brian Robinson right now, you know, over in Washington. But you look around the league, like Tony Pollard, like there's guys that are like 30 years old that are making a lot of money. And I think it says a lot about their impact, man. And I think it'll continue to go down that road. Josh Jacobs is getting up there in age. He gets a new deal. There's a number of, you know, obviously running backs moving around the league, but you kind of compare that to wide receiver contracts in the NFL right now. Look at, is it Michael Pittman in Indianapolis just got signed to a big deal? It's like, dude, you could have had Derrick Henry for that price, and not that I don't love Michael Pittman, but what was that really worth to your franchise right now? Well, you know what I mean? And what was that really worth?
What's going on with Jonathan Taylor and them?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I think Derrick Henry's an outlier because I don't think it's fair to put Derrick Henry in the same as other free agent running backs because he's a freak. He is, you know, when you talk about Derrick Henry, he is this generation of players. And I know that the guy was still playing when he was in the league, but he's Adrian Peterson. So remember, Adrian Peterson, yeah. And what I mean by that is the fact that, you know, when Adrian Peterson came back from an ACL, it was less than a year. I think it was like 8 months
or
something.
Yeah, it was really quick. Really
and
quick.
He rushed for 2,000 yards next year.
It's nuts.
So
it's nuts. Just knees and elbows everywhere.
So you have to take him kind of out of the equation. And Saquon Barkley is really only in his sixth year in the league. And to me, Saquon Barkley is kind of that new age running back. Now, he's a guy that's been banged up, so maybe he hasn't had the wear down. But these guys are not used as – Saquon Barkley is not used as just a running back. He's more of the Alvin Kamara, the Bijan Robinson-type mold, where Derrick Henry is a lot more of that old-school running back.
Yeah, and I'll say this, man. I'm a huge Saquon fan. We already talked about his numbers. He was going off last night, specifically in the fourth quarter. But I will say, don't use him as a blitz pickup. You and I watched film this morning on the play-action pass. He steps in, and they try to use him as a blitz pickup. He gets ran over. Here's how the Eagles fans reacted last night. They wanted to send a thank you message.
That feels amazing. It feels amazing. Last year, it was, you know, tough year for me mentally. We did a really good job of.
They love the Cowboys.
I'm going to let the.
How do you feel if you're a Giants fan watching this last night? Like, you're on the verge of benching your quarterback and firing your head coach, and Eagles fans are just down the road going, "Thank you, Giants!" And you see Saquon going off for 150. And let me be the first one to say, because I know Jerry Jones said this about Derrick Henry, Saquon is not doing this in New York this year. He's just not. He's just not.
I don't know. I think it's obtuse to say that with as good as they can be at times on defense in New York, to think that they couldn't be better with a little bit more ball control, to think that Daniel Jones wouldn't be better with Saquon Barkley, to think that Malik
Neighbors
they'd
all be better.
Wouldn't be better. Yeah. That I don't think every situation is the same, and I think it's a lot different because you got to look at what's happened in Dallas with injuries and everything. That's a different story than in New York. If I was a Giants fan, I would keep going back to hearing my GM say, "Yeah, I mean, at some point, a $40 million quarterback's got to be a $40 million quarterback."
Or how about their owner going, "I hope he doesn't go to the Eagles."
Yeah,
he's our most popular player. I hope he doesn't go to the Eagles.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like, was it Shane? Is it Sean? Is it Shane?
Shine, I think. Joe Shane. How you say it.
Or I can't remember if it was him or Daboll. It was like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, I can't have a $14 million quarterback being handed off to by a $40 million. I mean, a running back by a $40 million quarterback at some point. And it's like, well. That's what they're doing in Philadelphia, and they're winning.
Yeah, I think if you're going to win, man, you got to find ways to make it happen. Look, I'm watching right now that the Eagles offensive line. Just unbelievable, man. There's a couple inside zones. The most basic running play you can have, Saquon's not even touched. He's just running for 30 yards out.
I can't stop looking at this moon. This moon is like.
Is that what you keep staring at?
Look at it.
Isn't it, it's like a blood moon?
No, it's a new just, moon.
I can
just
see it too. It is mesmerizing.
Well, I have to,
memorizing.
I'll have to hit the wife up.
Memorable.
Like, hey, make sure the kids see the moon this morning on their way to school.
Yeah, they need. Well, you need to. Yeah, dude, because it's bright.
Speaking of running backs and offensive lines, we come back. We're going to talk about this Falcons matchup with Denver coming up at 4:05 on Sunday. You don't ever expect sacks from the Falcons. But it's even worse than that coming up this weekend. We'll tell you why. Stay tuned. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike and Bo. It's hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We're going to get to the Falcons coming up in just a second. Their big matchup. Really a kind of a playoff indicator, if you will, coming up in Denver on Sunday at 4:05 Eastern time. Want to get to a lot of this college football conversation coming up in a little bit. Dave Archer joins us later in the show to talk about the matchup. I have to hit you with one thing before we get to the Falcons, though. You brought this up to me this morning. The Atlanta Hawks 24-25 City Edition uniform, the Lift As We Fly 2.0. How are we feeling about these, man? I kind of like the color scheme. It's a little bit of a retro design, if you will, going back to Day-Day's 20s. You know what I mean? A little retro, little retro design.
I don't know why you got all... call people out.
Yeah, I knew you'd be upset by that because I said something to Day-Day.
you took a shot at Day-Day.
Yeah. Can I get a thumbs up or thumbs down from Dylan and Day-Day? What do you guys think about these?
I think they're solid.
You guys are way more fashion forward than us. There's no doubt about that.
What was that thumb doing? It was like in the middle.
He's in the middle. Yeah, he's on Fair Foul Friday. Day-Day's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine.
They're okay.
Yeah, he's doing the old Coliseum thing when the gladiators are fighting.
Dylan.
Down thumb.
Dylan, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but it's like when you see these days, if they're not, when these City Editions or the City Connects, like in Major League Baseball, it's kind of like the way you feel when you see the NBA Cup.
The
floors,
courts.
The
yeah,
courts.
Courts. Yeah.
If they're not hideous, you're like, hey, man, these aren't too bad.
Yeah, honestly, that's exactly how you feel. If they're not egregious, you're like, okay, that's not
bad. Let's not make your eyes bleed. You're like, oh, good for them.
Right. they didn't go over the top.
Yeah, what I like about these is I think they look like they could just be straight throwbacks.
Here's my next question, and this is not – I'm not judging anybody. I think of, like, most of the major sports in this town, a basketball jersey I'd probably be the least likely to wear.
You have
to wear a shirt underneath it, right? You have to wear the T-shirt underneath.
Well, you don't have to.
You
don't have to.
Well, unless you're Mark Zeno and want to go shoulders out all the time. I'm not going shoulders
out.
Marky Mark
would wear shirt.
I mean, of course, you know, well, he's from Boston.
I think it depends on your physique, honestly. Like,
it really
personally,
does.
Me.
Yeah, if you're doing lateral raises all the time with dumbbells.
I'm wearing like a loose T-shirt to hide my
the muffin top.
The love handles, but
I have a United jersey, love it. You know, obviously, I'm not wearing a Falcons jersey most of the time just because that feels weird for me.
Honestly, the best time to wear a basketball jersey is when it gets cold and you can have a hoodie under
it,
and then the basketball jersey over the top. That's the look.
I don't like that look.
You don't like that?
I see.
By the way, the hoodie
the
you got on today
like
is
that.
Sick. You
Appreciate
got a Woodward Woodward hoodie on the War Eagles.
Yep.
And I only am saying that because I'm reading it. Otherwise, I would never say that term. Just to let you guys know.
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
No, I don't know. That sounds you're weird today.
I totally got what he was.
Yeah, I don't know. Me and Dylan didn't, so he fell.
I'll take a shot at Day-Day. He's my guy.
Oh, I actually like that look. I'm not gonna lie. If one of these Fly City Edition uniforms with Morgan on the back showed up,
yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say.
I'd wear it with a hoodie.
I'd send that thing on over. Let's talk about this Falcons game against Denver coming up this weekend. Bo Nix has obviously changed the things that he's been able to do throughout the season, man. And look, the Falcons have changed too. I'm watching the game last night, the Eagles, and you see the Eagles 8-2 record, and you go, huh, yeah. How you feel about that too in that loss column? If you're Falcons fans right now watching last night and how good the Eagles were at the end of that game, they really turned it on towards the end. Now, the Falcons have gotten better in a lot of aspects, specifically being able to throw the ball. They're good at protecting the quarterback. Bijan went off last week in the rushing yards. The Eagles kicker struggled last night. I don't know if you noticed that. Missed extra point, couple missed field goals in the first half. It was ugly. And I kept thinking, can they win? Can they overcome? Right? Can you overcome a bad game by a kicker when you're the much better team? And in the end, Shout out to Dan Quinn for going for it on fourth and two and getting blown backwards, you know, for Jaden Daniels. But in the end, they were able to overcome it, something the Falcons weren't able to do last week. And I think that
it leaves
a lot of questions out there for me.
But it was just a different game. I mean, at no point, you know, the Saints came out and really, and I know that the Washington came out and scored early in last night's game, but in this game with the Saints, and obviously we're not going to stay long on this, but you were down by 10 points at one point in that game, multiple times, actually twice. And yeah. So the Eagles also were at home, and they never got down by too much. So, you know, it's too straight for Washington's loss. Dan Quinn could have kicked a field goal. And made it a 13-12 game. The game plays out differently when you go for a fourth down on your own 26-yard line and don't make it.
I don't understand. He could have kicked the field goal to take the lead. It's not like you're cutting it down to one possession.
Yeah, I don't. Sometimes you can get too aggressive. I think with Jaden Daniels and how good he is with his feet, you know, you don't expect the botched snap, which there was a little bit of a botched snap. And I think that was on Daniels. But anyways, look. That's their problem. They're now 6-4. The Falcons
see them a couple weeks.
Are 6-4 is no, they're 7-4, excuse me. And the Falcons are trying to get to 7-4.
Right.
And obviously it's it kind of keep pace in the division with the lead they have. It's not gonna be easy. You know, I texted someone yesterday, I was like, I don't think the injury report was long enough with all the guys that we have on this injury report, because you go through it. And who we're going to get and who we're going to get back and who we might not have. I would expect, first off, both your centers are on the injury report, but they were full participation. Ryan Neusel had a calf. Drew Dahman looks like he is going to actually come back and play this week. Thought it might happen last week.
But
looks like Lorenzo Carter should be back because he was a full participant, so I'd expect him to be activated. Cousins is good, and Algier and Drake, all full participants. All should play. The one that worries me is the Darnell Mooney being unlimited. I think he'll play. Troy Anderson unlimited. I think he'll play. Lindstrom, you know, will play. Grady and Zach Harrison both limited as well.
Both with the Achilles strains. Strange.
Yeah.
It's not something you usually see side by side on an injury report together.
No, and one could, I guess, be, well, there's three of them. Darnell Mooney got one too.
The Achilles
one,
I guess. Strange, dude.
Yeah, but what worries me is Charlie Warner. Did not practice concussion. I'm fearful he won't play. We'll know today, obviously, but I'm fearful. And then you look at Mike Hughes, who I think will be fine, but then maybe they're just holding him out. D. Alford worries me a lot.
I was going to say, am I wrong for thinking that the Mike Hughes injury would be less impactful than D. Alford?
I think it's your faith in Clark Phillips, but exactly. Remember, when Mike Hughes went out, he gave a big play to Marquez Valdes-Scantling,
right.
and Rod just said it was just poor coverage.
Well, and the bottom line is, when you look at those two guys both being injured, it's like Clark Phillips probably goes in for either one. But now you look, who's the guy right underneath him? Antonio Hamilton. I mean, they're all three of those guys on the DNP yesterday. That kind of all lends itself to saying you feel like you'll be extremely limited at that position. Natron Brooks, I know that he's been kicking it around a little bit up and down and activated and not activated and everything else. So we'll see how that all kind of plays out as far as the injury report goes. When we got in this morning, I wanted to take a look at Bo Nix and what he was able to do. All right, so I go back and look at his game log because I'm like, you know, he's really a guy that can hurt you with his legs, but how often does he do it? So I go look at his game log for this year. 35 yards in the opener, 25 in week two, 47 in week three. Then it goes down, not much. Then you jump up all of a sudden against the Chargers, 61 rushing yards. And against the New Orleans Saints, 10 carries, 75, dude. And I got to tell you, with everything we're talking about in the secondary and the injuries, I think we might see a larger amount than usual of zone coverage in this game, because I don't think they're going to be willing to turn their back and run away from Bo Nix in these situations. You know, that's what Sean Payton's going to ask them to do. And it also sounds like, more so than normal, I know we're a big cover three team, more so than normal, you might not want to get in man coverage without some of these corners, in this matchup. So I think that's something to watch as well.
Well, you know, running quarterbacks, when they see man coverage, they know in the back of their head, if I'm flush and I take off, there's going to be a spot in the field that's wide open. Sometimes, you know, depending, it's the middle of that field.
Right.
And sometimes it's one side. I think what hopefully And we have to remember, you when you're playing the run, you're setting the edge, right? That's kind of the whole thing. Oh, set the edge. But you do that in your pass rush as well. So you have to maintain your pass rush lanes.
Lane integrity, my friend.
Yes.
Lane integrity.
And what we mean by that is don't crash inside. If you're the outside edge rusher, don't crash in, and unless you're running a twist or a stunt, obviously. But if you're just straight up rushing four, and it's just a regular old four-man rush, and there's no little intricacies to it, do not crash inside, because when you crash inside or get pinned to the inside, that leaves the entire outside now to where Bo Nix can escape, not only make a play with his eyes and his arm, but a lot of time it's going to be with his legs. You have to maintain your pass rush integrity.
Well, and here's what I'll say. 10 carries for 75 against New Orleans. I'd say they were probably half and half scrambles and design runs. So it's something you're going to have to keep your eye on. I'll also say this. There were times when his throwing on the run, not very good. A couple overthrows, a couple underthrows, a couple out of bounds. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. All right, we got to go to break. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit of college football. It looks like the Georgia Bulldogs will be without a big piece this weekend. Will Tennessee be without one of their big pieces as well? We'll get you up to date. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Thanks for waking up with us here on the morning shift. It's Mike and Bo hanging out, man. About to get some college football here in just a second. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Got some college picks, some pro picks coming up at 8 o'clock. I have Dave Archer on at 8:20 to preview the Falcons and Broncos game that's going on this weekend. Our buddy Squidbilly will be in the house for that one. He'll get all the updated sod reports coming out of Denver. Got a new field out there. And we'll also get Dax McCarty from Atlanta United at 8:40 at the end of the show. Man, speaking of guests really quick, big day in this studio yesterday. Had Ed Bastian from Delta that was in with the Steakhouse, and then Ice Cube last night with the guys on Dukes and Bell, man. I was like looking at a picture of Mike Conte. I was like, what?
Have you ever met Ice Cube?
I love Ice Cube.
You ever met Ice Cube?
No, I have not. I'd love to.
I met him once.
Cool dude?
He's quiet.
Yeah, quiet?
Yeah, I mean.
I actually appreciate that. I appreciate the quietness.
He didn't talk a lot. I had to say that from the hip-hop world, I'd say hip-hop world is easy, you know, the safest way to put it or easiest way to put it. Like, from that era of guys, my favorite that I've ever met, and it was actually the most rewarding. It was Big Boy. Like, I met, and I'm a huge Outkast fan.
Are they in the same era? Big Boy and Ice Cube?
I mean, 90s rap, yeah. I mean, I know that Ice Cube started in the late 80s, but he was.
I feel like they're like 15, 20 years apart. I don't know. They don't seem like they're in the same era to me, but maybe so.
Well, you're a white guy from Pensacola, Florida. What the hell you know about rap?
Have you ever been to Pensacola? You might want to look up. Hey, you might want to go look up the game day special on Trent Richardson. Right, they'll give you a little bit of my background.
That was more about you.
I don't
than
know
Pensacola,
if you've ever been to Pensacola,
buddy.
But it's not exactly Chateau Alain down there. Okay, we have our own issues. All right,
but a lot of those guys when they come in, they're low key. They're just down there. Ludacris was kind of low key. Although I think we might have had him right after he had that big writer at UGA where he had all those things that he had. I think we asked him about that. He was on Dukes and Bell.
Yeah,
Trojans. You can say Trojan. Not a bad
Gators
word.
Boys better be wearing jimmies. Speaking of jimmies, last night, we're going to get to college football in just a second. I got to ask you, though, the Mike Tyson slap on Jake Paul, did it do anything for you? Because I didn't like the slap. I don't even care about the slap. But the immediate reaction of Mike Tyson when he slaps and then ducks, like, did anybody else notice? Like, he goes straight into defense mode.
He was ready.
Slap and ducks, dude. Like, I saw 88, 89 Tyson come back. As soon as he slaps, boom, he's waiting for the counter. I was like, okay. Like, now, I would not go out and pay $50 on a pay-per-view for this. But the fact that if you just have Netflix, you can flip it on, I'm probably going to catch a round or two of that tonight.
Well, the reason he slapped him is because Jake Paul stepped on his foot. That's why he slapped him.
I'm sure he had a good reason. I just, like, the funniest part to me was how he immediately ducks. Like, I loved it. I was like, yeah.
I didn't even peep that he stepped on his foot. I thought it was the way that Jake Paul walked up to the face-off.
When he walked and he does a little creep up, he steps on his foot, and Tyson slaps him and then goes back away from the mic.
Yeah,
he goes
say,
back. He goes back for multiple reasons. For one, his foot's bent.
Dude. It was awesome.
Bye. I mean, so yeah. I mean, I was gonna watch it. The only thing is we got a buddy that was gonna have people over to watch it. He kind of bells. Now our other buddy in the neighborhood is gonna have people over, but the reality is it's a night before I travel.
Yeah.
So it's a fight that's gonna happen at maybe 11 at 11:30.
I was wondering about that one time they actually take.
I can't necessarily justify going and staying all night somewhere to watch it. I'm either gonna do one or two things. Watch it at home, go over there, hang out, and then leave early and then either finish it at home or go over there, leave early, and watch it the next morning, tomorrow morning, before I leave.
I want to get to two college football topics real quick. First of all, it's announced that ETN is officially out for the Georgia Bulldogs, and Nico Iamaliava trending towards playing. I know that he's kind of listed as questionable. Everything we've seen from Josh Heupel says it looks like, you know, he's feeling good. You know, he's doing a little bit more. Is ETN being out? I know, you know, he was kind of expected to be hurt. He's been questionable himself. I think we've talked a lot this week about Nate Frazier and his ups and downs this season and what he means to Georgia's football team. Georgia hasn't been very good running the ball. And that's one of the more shocking things about Kirby Smart's tenure is somehow you've fallen off so big as far as being able to run the football, the offense line not up to snuff right now under Stacey Searles. Do you have questions about Georgia's ability to move the ball in Tennessee's defense? And look, man, we're making picks coming up in a little over an hour. This line is stinky. Like, if you think that you're like, oh, man, Georgia's not very good, all of a sudden it's a 10-point spread. Like, 9.5 is the most recent I saw. Very, very smelly line. So I'm just curious to get your thoughts, ETN being out, how you feel about that one.
Well, I think he's clearly their best back. He's their most versatile running back. He's – honestly, is he their most explosive player on offense?
I think you could make that argument for Nate Frazier. I just don't think Nate Frazier is as well-rounded at all and obviously doesn't have ball security and everything else.
Nate Frazier's got to stop putting the ball on the ground.
Nate Frazier is straight up a running back. Like, he's not, you know, you're not going to involve him in some of the other things you ask running backs to do.
You should be worried if Georgia can move the ball because this is a really good Tennessee defense. But this is a really good Georgia defense as well.
Yes, it is.
And you don't know what Nico is going to come in there. And Gaston might be pressed into action. He might have to play Gaston more. And so you don't.
Frenchman, Gaston.
Yes. He looks French. He's got that French, like, jawline.
What do you mean he looks French? How does a guy look French? Is there like a unibrow thing going on? What do you mean?
No, he just has that. He's got the French look.
All right.
I don't know. Why are you asking me a question? I can't explain everything to you, all right? I mean, I can't sit here and explain every little thing to you all day long.
Backup quarterbacks.
But so I would say this. I haven't even checked the over, but I would probably go with the under this weekend.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Showdown?
Even if it was like 35, I'd be like, take the under.
Hold, please. I'll be able to tell you in just a second. I want to pivot while I'm looking that up, though, and ask a little bit. The news comes out yesterday that Boston College quarterback Thomas Castellanos stepping away from the program.
He left.
Yeah.
He quit.
Well, that's what stepping away means.
He quit. Now, just say the word quit. He quit. He quit on his team because he got benched.
He pulled a Marcus Mariota, and he left town.
You called him a quitter.
He was like, yeah, I mean, he was. And to be fair, Thomas Castellanos quit. I'm just saying they both stepped away, which is quitting. How do we feel about this day and age? Like, and I think it's – because I think it's easy. You're old school. I'm obviously more old school and err on the side of these things. But I think we also have to look at it through the lens of what 2024 is. And I think we have to pay attention to what college football athletes are looking at. They've got agents in their ears. They got parents. Well, they've got all this other stuff. I'm having a hard time coming up with a reason why this would be okay.
Well, what do you want me to give you the – you know, we had this conversation Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever day it was earlier this week. You want me to give you this ridiculous PC answer?
Go ahead.
Well, he's just a kid and he's struggling with being benched, and he's just a kid and he's just trying to mature. Or the fact that,
well, the PC way of putting that is to say he has to worry about his mental health.
Or the reality of the situation.
Which don't get me wrong, I believe in that wholeheartedly.
I don't think it's a mental health thing. I think he just took his ball and went home. I don't think everything's about maturity. I think this is a business. His agent, his parents. It's all about the bottom line, and he's like, oh, I can't maximize my dollar here. I can leave the program, no longer risk injury, even in practice, just train, and now I can start setting myself up for the portal in December.
Yeah,
he quit his team,
and
this is the reality of the situation. This is why I'm not going to sit here and listen to people tell me why that these players should be treated like they're kids anymore, because they're not. They're not
adult decisions.
Yeah.
The over-under for that game, by the way, 47.5.
Yeah, that's
still the under.
I hate it altogether. I wouldn't touch it.
Hate it altogether. I wouldn't touch it. Either.
Dylan just told me in my ear, and I said that's blanked. I wouldn't touch it.
It is a homecoming on Sunday for one of the Atlanta Falcons' most important players. Why that homecoming is more important than you even realized before today. We'll talk about it coming up on the other side. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.